All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
I demonstrate the existence of God from the impossibility of the contrary. The transcendental proof for God's existence is that without Him, it is impossible to prove anything.
Let every tongue and every tribe responsive to His call. To Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. To Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all.
Jesus Christ is King.
Take your hand.
Welcome, everybody, to the Tag Your It podcast. I guess this would be number 42.
Episode 42.
Again, it's the surprise episode. So what we wanted to do tonight, since we're on the bi-weekly, but this is now weekly podcast, this is a special podcast to deal with the aftermath, apparently, that happened after our last episode.
Just to say what you were telling me right before we hit play.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It was right on. I can't make it any better. You're going to say it better than me.
Yeah. And so this is just one of those things, like I'm very careful of my fellow man, my fellow Christians and stuff. And I know that anybody out there could have been offended by the way things went down. But first, you know, I just wanted to let you know, I apologize for, you know, what happens. But the thing is we just got to understand that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are told from Scripture that it is that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are non-believing. So we know whenever we go out there, whenever we come on this podcast, whenever you go out there and preach the gospel, you're going to expect to be treated like a fool. So anyway, I'm gonna
take over real quick because
the thought,
here's one of the things about our great kind of non-planned bi-weekly podcast. So the deal was, I kind of came over. Adam and I were talking after we received a bunch of like what I thought was a lot of trolling messages after our live 1 year anniversary show, and it was from Sean McCormick and an individual that we had never had any familiarity with by the name of Brooke McCormick, who began at the very last little bit of our show to begin to go about this shotgun approach to argumentation, basically grabbing every little piece and every little argument that you possibly ever could, taking every little bit of argumentation you could out of context and slamming it on the wall. A terrible debater trick called the spread. It does not provide for any meaningful dialogue. And so what we tried to do during the Facebook responses on the page was we would try to keep the discussion at one particular topic. We wanted one item only. We want to talk about, please give us a justification for the laws of logic. Give us a justification for human dignity. We'll keep it on these two spots. This individual was all over the place. And after a series of, we're talking about a bunch of all over the place things, which Sean McCormick has not only tried to basically troll us, he has trolled Tim Carter after Tim Carter just soundly whipped him in the debate. And of course, it was really clear about a year ago when Ray Ray debated him that once again he was soundly, by any academic standard, he was handled. Mr. McCormick could not stay focused, he could not stay on topic, and he could not actually deal with the argumentation. So here's what was so crazy. What happened was Mr. McCormick began to just blatantly put all kinds of, again, profanity-laced responses all over the Facebook page. We have a respect for anyone who gets on our page. We don't want them to have to read that garbage. We don't want them to have to deal with stuff like that. And so we removed it. Brooke McCormick, which was, I believe, another individual that was actually, I have no reason to believe that this is a real person because the person has very few friends and has the same last name is Sean, and somehow wrote and uses the exact same poor argumentation as Mr. McCormick does. And for that very reason, I identified this individual right away as Mr. McCormick because he continues to work things in this same, he or she, I don't know, continues to work things in this very throw the spaghetti on the wall type of argumentation, which is not only offensive, it shows that you have no academic or intellectual integrity. And that's something that's really important to us, is we want to actually make serious argumentation. We don't want to throw spaghetti on the wall. So, Mr. McCormick, you know my number. I emailed it to you. You're more than welcome to call in whenever you would like. Oh, this is probably him. Let's see. Yes, hello?
Yeah, David?
Yes.
Yeah, you wanted me to call you in?
Yeah, hey, great. So, yeah, we would love if you would be happy to keep on a actual, serious, focused discussion. We'd be happy to talk to you. So, let's begin. What justification do you have by any means and any standard for slandering and using profanity against people in a civil discussion? If human beings are more than bags of protoplasm, what type of justification do you have for that type of slander?
First off, I never said humans were things of protoplasm. I came in with profanity because in that live stream, I found out through Brooke that you were accusing her of being me and were lying about that, which I am not her. She is not me. And so I came in hot-headed. I've had several dealings with you in the past. And from there, I just had enough.
So
and I was like, if you're gonna lie,
you need to apologize to the people on our Facebook page for the type of profanity-laced rants you did. That was unacceptable.
Okay.
No one has ever treated you like that, and that is a serious issue.
Okay, I will apologize for that. I probably should not have used the language I did.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will say that. As I said, I came in hot-headed. I was watching another live stream. I got a notification from Brooke saying that that you guys were falsely accusing her of being me. So I figured I'd step in and I'd say my piece.
Well, let me just say this. You have the same last name as this individual. The argumentation and the and this is not a me trying to be mean, but from a grammatical standpoint, the very poor use of English grammar was evident, which is a style that you write in, and that's not me trying to pick on you. You've owned that.
I fully admit I have bad grammar, and so will she. She'll admit she has bad grammar.
Okay, so you understand why there was some pretty serious.
I can, but she was. But I'll say this: if I was going to troll you with a fake account, I'll fully say this right now. I would not use anything that would leave any identification to it being me. I would not have anything similar to my first name. I wouldn't even use Sean as the S-E-A-N. I wouldn't use my last name because if you're in a pose with someone else and you don't want it brought back to you, rule number one, don't use any identifying markers.
Well, I don't need any rules on how to troll people, and I'm sure you don't either. So, let me say very sincerely, and I hope it was evident in my last post here, Brooke. I believe that you are a person who has value that is immeasurable. I might disagree with you on where that is from, but I definitely believe that you have immeasurable value. That is not a joke. You know that I have always spoken to you, even prior to your debate with Tim, in a very respectful and kind way. Was that not true?
I will say you have been respectful. I will admit I have a hot head and a short temper. I know I can lose it. Brooke, though, as I know she stated, and I know I saw, she was very respectful to you guys. In her response to you, and I have all the responses here because I have them in a text format, because as far as I know, she is still blocked on your page and her comments are not visible. She was very respectful and addressed each point by point. You had made, because in the first one you had, she said again, you had said that I was her at the very beginning after Scott Grant said, put the question mark, says in what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you went in and said, basically that I was her, she was me. And she said, again, I have told you, I am not Sean, and you destroyed him in two debates. The first one, you never even stayed on topic. and never touched on morality. And I will say, I will agree with her, because Ray went in and talked theology and never really touched on the morality. That was one point that I, and said that he quote mine in the debate, and that was referenced to his Richard Dawkins quote at the end. So she said, you lost on the grounds of being dishonest. The second one, you never showed any reason for design, and your choice of an opponent proved himself to be stupid by being a dick and attributing faulty design to your God with the choking hazard, and his best argument was sin. And goes on and clarifies. And then she brings up that she is LGBT, she is trans, and said that you were, and I will agree with your, the one where you did on, I think it was the Huffington Post podcast back in January, I think it was, where you had someone who went from quote-unquote being lesbian to being straight. I felt that was fairly anti-LGBT as well. So I'm assuming that is where she's coming from, because that's the only time I've ever known you to talk on that subject.
Yeah, and let me ask you about this. Okay, so whenever we, I mean, if we said that, okay, going from LGB to straight, I understand that sounds offensive to the movement, but whenever, if you listen to our comments, if you listen to anything that we said, we keep on saying the same thing. We believe that everybody is an image bearer of God and has immense value, but then what we do, and instead of arguing at the person, we argue the arguments. So whenever we're talking to a materialist, so we're not calling you, say, a bag of protoplasm, and we believe that you don't think that you're a bag of protoplasm either. Yeah. But we are arguing the argument of materialism, because if all is matter, then that's all you are. And so then the burden is on you to prove that you are more, and you'd have to have a justification other than saying, because I say so, because somebody else said I am. You'd have to have a justification that would fit, that would make you more than a bag of protoplasm. So I understand that our way of argumentation can sound like it is ad hominem, but we are arguing that the argument, here's the logical conclusion to the foundational premise of the worldview of, say, materialism. So whenever we're talking about LGBT people, whenever they're saying there is no God that exists, yet I have value and dignity that is worth protecting, we are saying, prove it, justify it. And we have not received any sort of satisfactory argumentation otherwise, so we're still going to go on your worldview. You are a bag of protoplasm. That's what your worldview informs you. But here over here, you're saying I have human dignity.
See, that is a complete and utter straw man, and I know several times Brooke pointed this out.
But she didn't give us any justification. You can say something as a straw man all you want, but you would have to then give us an argument.
But again, that's not what any atheist or anyone that I know of. You can point me to someone who is saying we're just bags of protoplasm, I'll be right there and saying you're an idiot.
Okay, but then again, have those atheists brought any sort of satisfactory, compelling argument to say...
Again,
I don't want an assertion, and that's what...
I'm going to give you a reason as to why I can please finish.
Okay. Please.
Okay, and I know Brooke touched on this as well, but through evolution, we have evolved as social creatures. We, therefore, have determined the dignity of human. We know human life has value. That is because we are social creatures. We know that, you know...
You're begging the question there.
Our species is not beneficial to us surviving. We developed that through evolution, through psychological...
So we know we have value. I want to make sure. We know we have value because we know we have value?
We determine our value. That's
okay, so you're then, begging the question.
So then we determine. So we know we have value because we know.
But nowhere in there is it that we're a bag of protoplasm. That is a blatant straw man.
Well, because your argument doesn't work, so you're still working with...
Yes, it does.
Your molecules in motion... You know, and there's time and chance. That's what's governing these molecules. You're just a happenstance accident that happened on this accidental universe and this planet that happened in this accidental universe. And so the thing is, you're then saying, well, we've evolved Which, that's not, and the thing is, that's another argument in and of itself, because you're acting as if evolution is actually a fact, and it is not a fact. It's an interpretation of facts.
We're okay.
Well, let's stay, we're going to stay with the argument. We're going to stay with the argument. I would ask you, beyond mere assertion, can you share with me the value of humanity beyond a mere assertion? Why do human beings have value? Why does any human being have value, period?
Because we assign value to it as humans.
So we determine value.
So then we're begging the question. We're using ourselves to prove ourselves.
No, that is how it works. Now, if you're going, if we have value in the grain...
So it just is.
So it is a brute fact. Wait a second. So that's a brute fact.
Can I get a clarification, real quick?
Okay.
Please get a clarification.
Mm-hmm.
By value, are you meaning to us, or are you meaning in the universe?
At all.
At all?
Yes.
Well, in the universe, we don't matter. I mean,
so my Dawkins quote is okay, because that's what he said. He said that in this universe there is no evidence of design or anything. There's a rock bottom. There's no good or evil or anything like that.
Pitiless indifference.
That's the quote. Yeah, it's all pitiless indifference. That's what Richard Dawkins said, and that's what I actually used in my debate.
Pull up the full quote. It was, you cut off a first part of it.
Wait a second. I want to make sure. Let me just make sure I'm this.
Okay.
I don't want to jump all over the place.
Sorry.
This is the beauty of argumentation. And again, I'm so thankful for your civil tone. I'm grateful that you called. Thank you. Let me just always assert, Sean, I like you. You are my friend. That is not a joke. I wouldn't talk to you if you weren't my friend. But my real question is, if we determine, again, you said we have value because we've determined that we have value. Am I correct in that? I want to make 100% sure. We're social creatures, and therefore we have determined that we have value.
More or less is what I said, I won't complain. And I will say this, I am being civil, only for the fact I want this out in the open, I want it cleared up, and also, I am doing it for my friend. I am being respectful on her end.
Well, thank you. And I, again, before I get back into the argument, let me be very clear. I am sorry for my jumping to conclusion that it was you. Okay. It was not at all intentional. Everything I said in my last response about the way that I hurt for your friend Brooke, for those who have made death threats to her, for those who have discriminated her, for those who have hurt her, anyone who claims to be a Christian and does that has acted in sin and acted outside of their worldview. And we have an authoritative document that makes it clear that they have done so. They're acting outside of that. Now, here is the issue. The authority that one has to, again, attribute value to something comes from somewhere outside of it. Either it is an objective or it is a subjective source. So if it is a subjective source, then you recognize there is no reason that in any universal sense human beings can have dignity. Does that make sense?
All right, can I ask you this?
Please, real quick? We'll keep it on the same subject, if that's all right.
Since you brought it up, I wanted to know, and I think I know the answer, but I just want to make sure before I say anything.
Okay.
You believe we have value because the objective source of the Bible, correct?
I believe that we have value because the triune God has, again, created us in his image. And, of course, we cannot help but see the human value because we are image bearers.
And to add to that, this is not a subjective case of value either, because we possess, because we are made. So it's not one of the things that he made us, and that's what he thinks of us. So that would make it subjective to God. It's something that we possess because he made us in. He made us with value. So just to add.
So let me ask you this. I'm an atheist. I have blasphemed God time and again, which is the unforgivable sin.
Actually, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but not the Father or the Son, those can be forgiven.
I blaspheme the Holy Spirit too. I said the Holy Spirit does not exist.
But do you understand what blaspheme means within that context that Jesus Christ was speaking of?
It is, as far as I know, any form of blaspheme is to speak in vain or out of anger in the name.
Okay, so blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit works by regenerating souls according to Scripture, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit in a consistent Christian context, again, you can follow any serious commentator on this. And what by that I mean a Christian believing commentator who can work in the original languages. They would, again, over and over again, recognize that since it is the Holy Spirit that regenerates the soul, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit says that you are a sinner, because Jesus says in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit calls you to, again, repentance. So if you are at the end of your life, and I pray that this is not the case for you, if you are at the end of your life, one who rejects the Holy Spirit telling you to repent, you have blasphemed. That is not blaspheming to say, I hate the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is to reject his pleading on your heart, calling you to repentance, thereby beginning the process of regeneration. And I didn't just make that up. You are more than welcome to check out any commentator on Matthew.
As far as I know, it was just to speak in vain or anger, and that's why.
And that is an assumption that a lot of people have made. In fact, I've had people who were Christians come to me worried with that same misunderstanding.
Okay.
So let me tell you, there is nothing shameful about that. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, it is a point of a lot of confusion, and that comes from a misunderstanding on the doctrine of salvation, which is soteriology, right? And so when you study soteriology directly, you kind of find what is the process by which one is regenerated unto salvation. And you'd find that right there, if that makes sense.
Okay. And that would lead me to my second point on this, is if I have value, then why, if I live a moral life, a good life, I don't commit any crime, I go to my fellow man, I do everything I can to make this world better for everyone else in it. If I die right here, right now, and I'm a proud, outspoken anti-theist and anti-atheist, and I'm an anti-theist and an atheist, and I'm proud of that fact, I don't shy away from that. I mean, if you don't bring it, my YouTube
Sean, channel, I believe you are 100% serious and that you hate God.
Would I be deserving of eternal torture, my skin being burned off, regenerated, and burned off again, and a constant cycle for torture?
Let me ask you this.
Do you believe hell is an eternal hellfire where you are in pain and agony forever?
Let's answer it this way. Do you want to be around God forever?
No.
That's what he's going to give you. Now, the only thing is, here's the thing, is he's going to let you have that. But the thing is some people believe, and Christians also hold to, that God is a sort of a deist God. They kind of view God as this deity that stands outside of everything. When he made everything, he wound up a clock, and it's going to run until it dies, right? Here's the problem with that. The Bible says that Jesus upholds this whole thing on his word, so he is currently upholding it. So everything that is a good gift is a good gift from God. So this means pleasure is even a gift from God. This means happiness is a gift from God. This means everything that we experience in this world right now is a factor of his common grace that he promised us after the flood. So what's going to happen is he's going to give you what you want, which is separation from him, but he's going to be pulling his grace, and you're not going to experience pleasure. You're not going to experience happiness, love, and anything. You're going to be wanting to kill yourself, and you're not going to be wanting to do it. But the thing is the Bible portrays it not as something God has done just unilaterally. It's because of you didn't want him, and so he's going to put you where you want to be. And that's what we're here warning you, is that we don't want that for you.
No.
You really don't want that for yourself, but you do not want to submit to the God of the universe.
And we love you. That's the only reason that we're sharing that.
Yeah.
And that would raise me to ask, well, what I know, I'm find the one that she mentioned, because I know Brooke mentioned one in there.
Wow, Sean, you have now made it onto our program 3 times. You are like our most common guest.
We'll get up to the 5 times club, just like Saturday Night Live or something.
I was Anit, that's it. A-I-N-E, Ani, is the Celtic goddess. Why should I not believe in her over your god? What, see, because I'm going to rely on evidence, but I have another set of questions I want to go down. But first off, if I have dignity as being made in your god's image, and again, I'm just yielding the fact that God exists just for the sake of this line of question. We got to want to go somewhere. If I, you know, if I died right now, and again, I'm admitted, I'm an anti-theist, I think religion of any kind does more harm than good. That is my stance. That's what an anti-theist is. I'm also an atheist. I don't believe any gods exist. With that being said, if I lived a moral, just life, I better humanity as much as I could, I made it as nice as I could, and I did everything for my fellow man and lived a moral life. And as I have up to now, mostly. Would you say that I deserve to go to hell and be tortured for all time?
Well, first of all,
again, it you don't want this God anyway. Yeah. So that's the thing, is you're an anti-theist, and you're,
and let me say,
I understand, you're granting it for the sake of argument that he exists,
first
and then
of
you're
all,
asking yeah. us if you live a good life. The thing is by the standards of Scripture, you have not lived a good life.
Okay.
And you can help the old lady across the street, but if you're doing it for yourself to pat yourself on the back, you still haven't done that without sin.
What if I do it because I know it's the right thing to do and it's helpful to humanity? That's not doing it for myself. That's doing it for others.
And I would tell you the only reason that you know it's the right thing to do is because of the, again, the grace of God giving you a, again, by God's common grace, you recognize, again, the dignity within humanity, which
okay.
we've, again, explored. Your worldview cannot objectively identify. That's the real problem. You can say
that
something is good morally, and it could be a terrible and deplorable thing if there is not a standard for morality.
Okay, well, what's your standard? Let's get that out of the way. But let me finish my line of questioning. Besides me going, first off, so I deserve to go to hell if I were to die right now. I just want to get that question answered.
Let me say this real quick. We all deserve to go to hell.
Yes, every one of us.
Every okay. single human being, because God is completely righteous and just. He is so just and so righteous, our minds cannot comprehend that standard, because we have finite minds and God is infinite. And therefore, to recognize God's holiness is to recognize our inability to reach his holiness and then our inadequacy. And I would say the main difference between yourself and myself is that God, by God's grace through the Holy Spirit, I've recognized my inadequacy. And my prayer is that you will. In fact, today I held the hands of a dying man. This is no joke, Sean. I held the hands of a dying man who is an atheist, 80 years old. He cried because he knew his life was coming to an end. This is not a joke. And he wanted faith. He wanted faith. He wanted faith. To me, when you want faith, that's the beginning of God working on your heart. But recognizing that we are fallen in Adam, we are fallen, and we are, again, an imperfect God hater, it tells us in Romans chapter 3. It says that no one seeks for God. No one, of course, has understanding of God. Our throat is an open grave. We use our tongues for deceit. Our mouth is full of bitterness. Man, that's me, Sean. That is me.
Okay.
I don't think I'm better than you. I don't think that I'm not any more deserving of God's grace than you are.
Okay, I want to make this clear. I don't. If I ever came across this, I know I have a hot head. I know I have a very, very...
Sean, I love you.
I hope you don't think I was trying to say I'm better than you.
Nope.
I know I have a temper, and it is one of the things I am working on, as anyone who might have saw my comments in the thing was, I admit, I have a temper and I have a mouth, and at times they can get me in trouble. I will fully admit that.
Man, we love you, and guess what? I forgive you. Because God's word says that I'm supposed to. And of course,
I was just going to say, one of the things that I was coming on was, Fort Brook was one of the reasons why I did decide to ultimately call in, was mainly to get the apology that for saying that I was her, because she's like, no, I'm not.
So and very sorry.
Yeah, that was really one of the main reasons for calling in. But my next question is, I don't know if he's still alive or not. But BTK, Blind Torture and Kill Killer, the BTK killer.
Yes.
He was a youth minister. He is a Christian. Should he be allowed into heaven, knowing what he did and all the crimes and really evil things, if you want to go with that? I prefer the term moral and immoral.
No. I'll stop you off. No. He shouldn't be allowed to go into heaven. He should not be allowed to go into heaven.
Even if he repented?
If he repented of his sins, and through the grace of God by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ covered him in his righteousness, he still is undeserving. Yeah. But God sees Jesus Christ's sacrifice, the same sacrifice that he would offer to you if you would simply repent.
Mm. So it doesn't matter what I do. It only matters what I believe.
It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what the Holy Spirit does in you. That's what matters. The thing is, whenever you're regenerated,
I'm a little confused then. If BTK believed on Jesus, you know, followed everything you say you need to do, accepted him, blah blah blah. I don't know if he's still alive. He can still be alive.
I don't know if he is either.
I don't know.
This is a guy who, Sean, let me give Adam some context because he's not from Kansas where we are from.
Okay.
And so he knows nothing about this guy. Guy in Wichita, Kansas, around 2000, was a youth minister, was a serial murderer, and was a deacon of, I believe, in the church. Not only was he, youth minister. So he was an elder. They come to find out that he had been murdering people over a course of about 20 years.
So basically, he was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
That's right.
And by the standards of Scripture, he was not a Christian. Because if he was unrepentant of that, then he wasn't a Christian.
And living
out from among us. That means he wasn't with us.
Yeah.
But the thing is if he did repent, because the thing is we are all capable. We are all capable of being monsters. And this is one thing that after I had a little discussion, like, you know, I can be Jerry Sandusky by tomorrow morning if the conditions were right. That's why I need Jesus Christ.
I would argue against that. I would say it would take a lot more to add up than just overnight, but
well,
it can add up. So,
as Lawrence Krauss says, rare things happen all the time. That's the thing with he recognizes it.
But it next raises, because my point was, why should someone like him or Ted Bundy or Scott Roeder, for those who don't recognize that name, he is the one who shot and killed Dr. Keller. Why should they go to heaven above me? Because to me, a righteous judge would be one to look at how good you were, not what you believe.
Well, see, but you're still thinking that you're good. Like, you're not good by your works. You can't be good by your works.
Okay, so then, and now this actually brings into my next set of questions, because I just don't understand that. Why should it be what I believe, not how I act? I think that should be more important than what you actually believe. But my next question is...
Can I respond real quick to that?
Sure,
I don't want to interrupt you. So I want to make sure that you... Because that was a great question. Sean, amazing question. Why should I go to hell for... Or should I go to hell for what I believe or how I act? So again, there's a recognition in your life that there are moral and immoral acts. Is that correct?
Yes, and I can give... Can I clarify on why I say that?
Yeah, please, go for it.
Okay, because to me, moral, and in order to have an objective morality, moral standard, as I think we can, is what, and even then, this is still iffy, but as I am an atheist, I'm also a secular humanist, and the best way to describe it is that which does the most good or causes the least amount of harm, humanly possible, on a person or a given set of, or a given population, would be concerned. Would be considered moral. That which does harm on purpose and intentional things along those lines, that would be immoral. And that's where you can derive that standard. Now, again, I do believe to an extent morality is somewhat relative in how it is. I don't think you can have an absolute moral. Now, before you go at me on this, because I did see your post about David Silverman, and for the record, he's a sleazeball. If that's true and proven to be true, I'll call him a sleazeball for what he did, because he is. But on that with relative morality, I would say yes, because I would ask you, is it wrong to kill someone? Absolutely morally wrong to kill someone.
Is it absolutely morally wrong to kill someone?
Is it an absolute morality that killing someone is wrong?
Is it an absolute immoral act to kill someone?
Yes.
For a human being to kill... For a human being to take the life of another individual, is it absolutely morally evil? That is an extremely interesting question. Again, it does kind of remove a few of the, you know, because we know that there are situational things. And yeah, so and if someone is attacking my daughter with a knife and I have a gun in my hand, it is, in my mind, it is immoral for me to not do something. Now, I would take that person's life if they were, again, trying to take the life of another person. You'd say, well, wait a second, you just created a subjective morality. No, I've recognized that there are objective morals. And there are, again, situational elements of objective morality.
And that right there was actually what I was going to use. I was going to say, someone breaks into your home, they have a gun, they point it at your family members, you have a shotgun, or they have a knife, and they're threatening to kill your family members, you have a shotgun, and you blow their head off.
Hey, we're going to talk about this on our next show, so this is so timely. Next week, at this time, we will have this exact same topic, Sean, so incredibly timely. I mean, you just hit it right out of the park on that. So I can get, let me put a little plug real quick out for our show. Okay. Next week, we are going to be really excited to have both Tim Stratton and Casey Rash on when we talk about God and guns.
Yeah.
We have kind of titled the show, God Hates Guns, but we don't really know if that's exactly what we're going to title it. That's the working title right now. But if anything, it is God and Guns. Okay, go back. I've made my plug.
And that would raise the question of, is it moral? Because if it's an absolute morality, if it's an absolute moral sin, killing someone is wrong, then in that situation, blowing the guy's head off who's threatening your family and killing him is, in fact, would be considered immoral. Although relative morality would look at what the situation is.
No, that would be...
What I would say, yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be the Christian worldview.
No.
The Christian worldview in that would be, again, a higher calling, especially, you know, let's keep my family in there, okay? And God forbid anything like this ever happened. But I did have a person who was at one point peeping in the window of my home at my, at that time, 11-year-old daughter, and was a peeping Tom. And guess what I did? I grabbed my rifle and I went chasing him. Right?
Yeah.
But if he were to break in and he were to start trying to stab my family members and I had the means to stop him, I would stop him. But my higher calling, that is for me to be, again, the defender of my home, the protector of my home. In fact, God's word says that I am to, of course, be the minister in my home or the shepherd in my home, the spiritual leader in my home. And therefore, my calling would be to protect my home, right? And again, we have multiple examples in Scripture of God calling the husband, even the wife at times, to protect those people that are their family. It would be more objectively wrong for me to do nothing. And again, the morality at that point would be pointed right at me. Let's make it real world. That shooting in Florida, that officer. If you're like me, you're ticked.
I'm not familiar with what all happened in that situation.
This is the shooting in Florida about like a month and a half ago. The last big one in this school where there's like 26 kids killed.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and they had one officer that was actually...
Actually, I got an even more recent one that even hit a little closer home for me.
Well, that's...
You want to go with one.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. In this situation, though, there was an officer that had a gun,
and
he didn't do anything. He ran away. So that's why we need this.
Okay,
so, yeah.
And then I'll contrast it with the one I was going to bring up, the one in Maryland. Remember that one? It happened about a month ago, about 4 weeks ago, what happened is a student walked in with a pistol, shot one student who was main target, from what I understand, was the girl.
That's right. I remember this. And the officer put him down.
And the officer shot him.
Yes.
It took him out. Now, I would say that the officer in question, and the Florida one, the Parkland one, not brought up, I don't remember which one it was, but yeah, the Parkland shooting, I would say the officer acted immorally because he had a job that he was supposed to do and morally obligated, and therefore, by that standard, he should morally have stepped in. The resource officer in Maryland, I won't fault him. I mean, I feel for him. I really do, because he had to take a life of someone, and I know someone who was an officer for 10 years on a force, and he got into a shooting and ended up killing someone because he was shooting at him, so he had to shoot back or be shot, pretty much.
Gotcha.
And he ended up killing the guy. The next day, he went in, turned in his gun in his bag, and said, I can't continue to do this.
So let me do this real quick.
I feel for the officer in Maryland.
So let me stop you here real quick. So here's the thing. You and I have definitely an agreement, and I believe Adam has an agreement too. So the idea is that, again, we think that there is a moral obligation on that individual, the officer in both of those situations, to step in. Why was that? Because those human beings had something more than subjective value.
Mm-hmm.
They had objective dignity. But the issue is, at the very end of the spectrum, when you say, we determine our dignity, the problem is, we can determine who is dignified and who is not. And that's the issue. Because we cannot say objectively whether a society was even wrong for doing something. You know the Nuremberg trials in World War II, right? After World War II.
Yeah.
See, the issue was, and it kept happening, who can come to an outside society? Because if a society is the one that determines their value or the value and dignity of human beings, then who are we to ever say you are wrong? That's the issue.
As a social creature, we've enacted laws that we deem as
But we've enacted laws. There's the problem, though, Sean. There's the problem. If we've enacted laws, what about another closed society enacting laws because they're a society? What if they believe that...
Are we referring to in the U.S. or are we referring to outside the U.S.?
Here? We're talking about humanity. We're talking about humanity. Humanity in general. I mean, who am I to go to those islanders who are cannibals and say, well, stop eating people. Don't eat people. People aren't snacks. Who am I to say that?
Okay.
I can't, because their society says, hey, the best thing, hey, better than Rice Krispies is human beings, right?
Can I make a point?
Go for it.
Points to make on what you've said?
Please, yeah.
First off, on value, I'll bring this question up. This question I want to ask you that we were talking about value and dignity and that. You would agree, we as humans assign values to everything, whether we want to admit it or not, we assign values to it. Like, a dog for us here in the U.S., I would say, is a pet. But in other countries, that's your dinner.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So if you went over to another country with your dog.
And see, this is actually a good example of, you know, culture and society dictating our morals and our values. Because you get to that. And then the next one. Of, like, I was asking, was it outside the U.S. or inside the U.S.? As a human being, you know, having empathy, that's where a lot of it comes from, is empathy. I'll actually plug a YouTube video here, and I can email you the video if you want later to put it up or whatever. But the guy's channel's name is Vice Rhino. He did a thing called the Veil of Ignorance. He actually addressed this question very well, probably better than I can. And that's where he looks at it. And he actually tackles, you know, the relative morality argument and where that is. And he did it. I'll just hear his video because he answers it more eloquently and better than I could. So I'll plug him for a bit.
So here's the deal, Sean, real quick. We have really enjoyed having you. This is the greatest dialogue we've ever had with you.
Yeah.
This is a good thing. This is a positive thing.
Yeah.
Remember, And this is a reminder. This is a reminder for me. This is a reminder for everybody. There's another person on the side of the screen, right? And hey, great reminder for me. Forgive me. Let me say, and I mean it, and I will, because I believe that God is the one who forgives ultimately. I will ask for God to forgive me for any mishap on way I treated Brooke. That was never an intentional thing. I made an error, but it was wrong, and I will ask God to forgive me for that. No joke. But here's the thing that I really want to hit at. See, I like you, Sean, and I've had conversations with you like this.
Yeah.
I'm not a bot on the other end of the screen, and I got to remember that too. You see, because
I have to remember to control my temper at times, and then you step back, and I'll fully admit that. I fully will admit I mean, because of our kind of past, you know, these past few years really been kind of strained on our relationship, you know, with mm-hmm. each other. I admit I went in hot on every time I've gone in with you. I went in hot. I'm not going to deny it. I won't lie.
And I can always do better to be kind and be compassionate. Yeah. In fact, that's the thing that I want to hit on is, now I'm speaking a little bit more to our audience and not directly to you, but I want you to know it as well. Christians are called to give a defense with humility and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, with humility and compassion, I would tell you to engage the Christian, but also seek to understand. Don't just bash. And it's the same thing for me every time. Let me say something about our ministry. We never want to be someone who misrepresents or is just straight up demeaning.
Yeah, I'll fully admit. I can, and it's not unheard of, I can have conversations on religion. I actually talked to a guy on my channel, he's a friend of mine, on the matter of, you know, because he's not a young earth creationist. He accepts Big Bang evolution and the other accepted scientific theories as they are written. And I asked him, how do you justify the Genesis account with what you believe? And mm-hmm. we had a half-hour discussion on that, actually.
Yeah, and that's a great, great topic. And they're awesome folks. I would point you out to Ted Cable's book. Like, you want to hear a really good Christian dialogue, you want to see a really good Christian dialogue and a great critique of young earth creationism, take a look at Ted Cable's book. It's called Controversy of the Ages. Amazing read. I think you can get it on Kindle and just listen to it. I don't know how you read. But hey, Sean, we're going to have to let you go here because I've got some other things I've got to do. We're not trying to push you off. Yes. Nothing is trying to push you off. No, here's what I would like to extend. I would like to extend another opportunity for you to come on and dialogue with us. We'll get a topic. We can time it. We won't call it a debate. We'll just call it a dialogue, and we can just talk just like this. And you give us a topic. Give us a topic, and we'll hash it out. And we will we'll again do a co-show. Not because we dislike you. Actually, because we really like you and really love you. And yes, we disagree with you. But you've got questions, and if we don't have the answers, then maybe we've made a mistake.
I can actually, if you really want a topic, I can give you one. Right now, actually, if you really want.
We have unblocked you. Shoot us a message, and we will fit you in, and we'll make sure we've got some other shows coming up that we've already got on the calendar.
That's fine. I got a couple videos that I'm trying to work on right now.
Okay.
As well as some other projects. So I'm pretty busy right now as it is. So I'll shoot you the message. I have a few topics in mind that I could send you, so I will do my best to, you know, to do that. And again, I am sorry for,
I'm sorry too. And
for losing my temper. I am a known, I mean, you know me for years. I mean, you know, I'm a known hothead. I'm not afraid of confrontation, and I'm not afraid to say what I think. And at times I sometimes use colorful vocabulary.
Well,
and I know
all forgiven,
and it's something I'm working on.
Yeah, all forgiven. Let's from this day on, let's bygones be bygones. It's a fresh page between us and you guys. And like, one of the things is I also wanted to extend the conversation to Brooke too. So if you guys both want to call in and like do a topic together, and we can talk and we can be cordial, but And here's another thing I'm going to ask. Okay, because Facebook is not a platform for releasing, like, information where it takes books of a comment. So it's one of those things. If we have questions, let's be cordial. Let's ask, like, one thing at a time instead of stacking. Because that's what I was the one that was trying to control the situation, and I'm the one that blocked everything off is because the conversation wasn't going progressive. It was layered upon layered, different, like, here and there questions just all over the place. And, you know, this is the thing is we are an apologetics ministry. People that have no clue what's going on are reading that, and it's, you know, it's one of those things I wanted to protect them because they don't know what's going on. So it's one of those things, if there is any interaction, let's even stay cordial in text form.
And Sean, so, again,
you know, that's all I
every
ask.
Last bit of this is, again, our desire to dialogue with you.
Yeah, and I'll say this on Brooke, I can't say, but if I had a guess, I would say I don't speak for her. As you saw, she has her own opinion, and yeah, you don't.
Yeah, well, understand, but just one of those things, let her know
I don't know if she will for one reason. One, she can't fully be out as herself, so for her own protection, I don't think she would come on for that reason for a while. And two, she has a really bad stutter, and trying to answer questions, it gets really bad. So,
yeah, well, understand, but just
people who don't even know she speaks because she doesn't speak a lot for her stutter. So I'll relay the message to her, but I can't guarantee anything on her end.
And you can just tell her too, real quick, that we do have a great love for her. That's not an exaggeration. We believe that she is of immeasurable value and worth. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to let you go, but thank you for calling in. And shoot us on Messenger, the tag you're at Messenger, that way we can both see it. Shoot us a few ideas, and we will get a date to talk, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm so glad that we got to come together and just diffuse this, and actually, I hope you guys...
Yeah.
I hope you guys saw, you know, like that, and I mean, hold us to the scriptures too. I mean,
right.
We are not above the scriptures. We're not, you know, big name philosophers with degrees and with, you know, because you know, we're nothing without Christ. But, you know, so hold us to it. If there's anything that you guys ever see that we do, you know, hold us to the scriptures. Let's talk and dialogue on that. But, you know, I hope that Dave and I were a wonderful example to the world of how Christians should deal in the world.
I hope so. This was not exactly how we planned this show to go.
I know. No, we had some stuff to talk about, that was awesome that we got the opportunity that Sean called. So again, thank you, Sean, for calling.
Yes, and he's been unblocked, and we are happy to interact. We will do another show with him calling in like that. We'll have it a little bit more organized. I want to thank you so much if you've tuned in today to watch us. Here's what we've got coming up. We wanted to kind of kick this out if you didn't hear it. So next week we have our God and Guns dialogue. We will have Tim Stratton of Free Thinking Ministries out of Kearney, Nebraska, calling in. We will have in studio Casey Rash of Blood Tracks, which is Blood Tracks is a company that allows you to put a little knock, a little hole at the end of your knock when you bow hunt so that you can trace your deer that you shoot with your bow.
Yeah.
And he can maybe shoot a little bit out about that. And he's a great avid outdoorsman, solid guy, deacon at the church that I pastor, really sharp guy. And so we're going to talk about God and guns. I want to invite you to join us for that dialogue. It will be pretty similar to this, except we'll have another chair here in case he'll be here.
And then the next show that we'll be having in May 8th.
Will be
so
an awesome
remember,
show
we're
too.
2 weeks, unless if something weird happens between then and there, but we'll have a guy named Doug Shivers, and he's the pastor of Boulevard Baptist Church here in Springfield, Missouri, part of the Greene County Baptist Association and everything. And apparently we're having a discussion as Greene County churches, which is an awesome discussion. I'm glad that we're finally having something like this in our area, but he's going to come and be a guest on our show about Calvinism and the SBC. So he is a Reformed pastor. That's been a part of the church for 20-some years.
And that's on May 8th that he'll be here.
Yeah.
The second is the luncheon. And if you want more information on that, check out Greene County Baptist Association's website. And you could probably give them a call and they could tell you about registering. And I think it's $5 for the lunch. Really, really great thing. And then on the 22nd, we just got our guest booked for the 22nd. And that will be... grab it real quick as I pull up my messenger.
I didn't get that written down.
That it will be Mike Leake, and we are excited to have Mike on. Mike is a pastor here in Missouri. He's an author of, I think, 2 books and a very avid blogger. And so we're really looking forward to having Mike on. Just had a good conversation with him. We also do have 2 debates coming up within the next few months. Jack Coltis, who has been on the show before, is going to be debating or doing a dialogue with a friend of his, a fellow pastor, on the spiritual gifts. We're really looking forward to that. And then big debate that we're really excited about, too, is Chris Date and David Van Bebber.
Daddy Bebber.
My dad.
Yeah.
Will be debating. And we're still kicking around exactly how we're going to deal with that topic. But if you're not familiar with Chris Date, he is the director of Rethinking Hell. And it's a group that is annihilationist. And they propose annihilationism. So it should be a really good debate. Mm-hmm. Man, this show has gotten a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah,
so glad.
Anyway.
But man, it's so good. We might just fill up our time slot for the month. So we better sign off,
man. thanks for bearing with us. We love you guys. Love anybody that's watching this. Mm. Image Bearer of God, we love you. If you guys want to bring anything to the table sometime to have a discussion that you just saw, if you have those kind of questions, we can do it. And because from our end, it's the love of Christ that we've got to reflect. So anyway, with that, this is the Tag You're It podcast. I'm Ray Ray.
And I'm Dave.
And Sully.
Deo.
Gloria. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Thank you.